RadioInfluence.com. This is Landry Football on Radio Influence, the only podcast where you can get perspective of what happened on the gridiron through the eyes of a coach, scout, and front office administrator. Now, it's time to step into the film room. Here's Chris Landry.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Tuesday, February 27th edition of the Landry Football Podcast. It is deeper and deeper into the off-season minutia. It's Combine Week. Everyone will start to assemble towards the week's end. The workouts don't begin until Friday and really until Saturday, and Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. But there's a lot of things that go on at the Combine that folks may not be aware of. It is like a convention. It's the biggest convention of NFL people of all sorts in any one spot. You're talking about, of course, all the scouts, all the coaches, all the front office executives. But I don't know how many people are aware of that. Every video director, every trainer, every team doctor, everyone who's everyone in the league is there. It's everyone has their own conventions. Even the agents have their yearly convention at the Combine, at one of the hotels at the Combine. And the video directors have their own conferences and learn about the new technologies and seminars that are put together to make the work in that industry better. Trainers have their own, and team doctors have their own medical seminar related to football. All those things are really important and are obviously focused on to try to get better. But it all takes place at the Combine, why everyone's there. So a lot's going on in terms of this week. One of the biggest things that's come into play in the modern era of the Combine is free agency is right around the corner. So the initial contact of talking, agents are there, negotiators are there. In fact, this is an interesting thing you ought to know, is that teams even bring their contract negotiators, who are not football guys and don't really contribute in the evaluation of the workouts or anything else at the Combine. They're there just to meet face-to-face with agents of players. There's a what they call a legal tampering period where you can talk with players. The agents, I should say, and to try to get a feel to maybe consummate a deal, give an idea where they're going to go, maybe spread some intel that obviously is going to allow the player or the team to go in whatever direction they feel they need to go. Really important to understand that this is a big process of when there's some downtime and there's not a lot of it, you will often see at the St. Elmo's or any of the winter establishments at Indianapolis, you'll see how certain agents and front office executives are meeting and discussing possible deals. Just give you an idea what the schedule is like, again, for the players. Players are coming in shifts. Everybody thinks players are coming in at the same time. They're not. You've got only the players that are coming in. The players that come in that day, for example, the offensive linemen and quarterbacks will come in maybe the first day. And then they'll go through pre-exam physicals. And then they'll go through the medicals the next day and work out the next day. Well, the next day, while they're going through medicals, you got another group coming in, and they're like one day behind in terms of everything else, if you follow me. And that happens to the end of the week. So it's not going to be until, Tuesday's the last day of the workouts. Monday is the last day of the physicals because the last group that works out, the defensive backs, are going to finish their physicals on Monday. And then Tuesdays, again, it's just workouts that are left, and then everybody goes home. And all the information is collated, data's put into place. So for players, we talked about this on Thursday. It's a very arduous, aggressive, high-pressure time for these individuals. These players come in and they don't want to say no to anyone. They need to talk to everybody that they can. They've got to go through medicals. They've got to, you know, the 15 minutes. The meetings are a lot different because, and I don't think are as useful other than you just get a little bit of get to know a guy for 15 minutes. You don't get a whole lot out of it. But you get some information that you can use further on as you go through that process. So when you do as such, what you try to get is a little bit of a feel for the player, maybe ask a couple of things that are, you know, pertinent to that player. And if there are any issues, folks, you don't waste time getting right to the point. So not a whole lot that's done there in depth, but what you want to do is be able to make note of it to follow up on campus or to your facility to evaluate a player. So the interviews are so important in the process of getting information. I mentioned that it was a detailed interview that I had with Lawrence Phillips that ultimately helped determine that, you know, we weren't going to be interested in him. And it wasn't because of anything he said negatively. It's just that I uncovered so much about his background in a very short period of time that I realized it explained. Folks, when I say explain, it doesn't mean make it acceptable that he did everything that he had done to that time, which is doing harm and putting his hands on his girlfriend. Those things are never justified. But you begin to learn a little bit about what type of person he was and where he came up from. And while that was acceptable in his way of life, not in society, but in his way of growing up, it was. And it's more than one reason why you're going to have a harder time to transform someone like that. Difficult to do. And it's a challenge that I'm not sure that you're ever going to be able to overcome. Look, I think that what's important for a player is to get to know who is important in their lives. You can't, as a coach, as a front office person, you can't babysit these guys. You can't be their conscience. You have to assess who is going to be a part of their lives, who is going to have an impact in a positive or negative way that's going to affect their future thought processes, decision makings, beliefs, and how they do things. Some players can change their lives around. You hear Chris Carter talk about that. Lawrence Phillips never could. And I bring him up because he's a sad state. Obviously, God rest his soul, is he went through an awful lot and now no longer with us. Their issue, their problems. You can't turn your back on anybody that has a problem, or quite frankly, you're going to miss out a lot of good players. But you need to know where you can minimize the risks. Where are the risks worth taking? Where are some things that, okay, it just needs some polishing and some fine-tuning, or this guy's a bad-to-the-core type of person. And I think that's important. Some people make mistakes. Some people do things that others wouldn't do. Some people have a different moral compass on things. All those things are true. But you've got to assess it as best you can. And I think when you do that, you get a better feel for what the player is and what the risk level. For example, we had the Marcus Peters trade from Kansas City to the Rams since we last spoke. This is the guy that had a lot of problems off the field. Ed Washington was tough to coach, militant in a lot of ways, didn't listen, did his own thing, was suspended from the team by new coach Chris Peterson. Now, Pete is a no-nonsense guy, a hard-working guy, came in trying to change the culture at Washington, and Marcus did his own thing and really didn't conform. Great talent, great player, just wasn't able to conform the way you need to, or the way Chris Peterson felt. It was a reason why he lasted a little bit longer, because as a player, he would have been drafted a lot higher. But certainly, when you run the risk of taking a guy at a certain stage of the draft. Part of it is based upon the work that you're doing now at the combine. You're trying to get a feel for, again, what is the production versus problem issue? Little problem, great production, just a little attitude, a little hard-headed. You can work around that. Guy that doesn't conform, does his own thing. It's something that you're going to always have a hard time with. And then, you know, you got a guy like a Pac-Man Jones, who was a wasted pick by the Titans years ago, taken very highly, didn't do anything but cause trouble for the Titans. And he's gone on to have not a great career, but a decent career where he's held on to a job in the league longer than probably a lot of us thought he would have. None of us are psychologists. None of us know what people are going to do and how they're going to react, but you can go on past behavior to determine the likelier future performance. And you got to keep that in mind. This is all what this is about. This is what all the everything at this combine is about. I'm going to stress again, it is not about the workout makes the player. This is going to determine who can play. It is not what the combine is about. It only, in a workout, determines a guy's physical attributes to play a certain position in the league. So with that in mind, you look at the qualities in your report that you have on the player and how he's performed those physical attributes on film and in person when you've watched him. That is a large determinant of how they play football athletically. And then you also have to add how they play football cerebrally, mentally, toughness, effort. Those all things factor into it. But when you, to me at the combine, what I've always tried to focus on is just watching. I watch how a player reacts. He's going to get frustrated this week. You don't think you're going to get frustrated at practice? You don't think you're going to get frustrated in the games? I want to see how they handle it. I want to see how they handle answering questions when they're frustrated. I want to see how they deal with that. That's important to me. It tells you a little bit about the player. It doesn't mean like people do that say, well, he had a bad attitude, I wouldn't take him. No. If it's a bad attitude and it conforms with what we have heard before and of an issue and a problem, yeah, that's something that could pile on and affect whether you'd want to take the guy or not. But you don't make decisions based upon one thing or two things. It's a number of things. So if you look at it and you say, hey, wait a minute, this is what we're looking for, and you have everybody in tune to look out for certain signs and look for certain things, how they react, how they answer questions, ask them things that you know they're not prepared to hear. See how they respond. It's a big, big part of it. You know, what do I look for? Well, let's go through a little bit with quarterbacks. I want to see poise. I want to see how they deal with it. I think how they deal with answering questions are important. The little time that you can put on the board, I want to see what they learn. Have them draw up something and get them to teach you something. Have them tell them something at the beginning and then at the end have them draw it up. See how well they retain within a short frame of mind. Have him talk about a bad play, a mistake, what happened. Have him explain it. See how he handles that. Really important. Let me tell you a little bit about the Wunderlich test. And the Wunderlich test, oh, it's outdated, it doesn't mean anything. First of all, it has value from this point only. The Wunderlich test is simply a test of being able to retain what you read. You're reading something, you're making a quick assessment of it, and you're answering it. And people might say, well, I don't care about, you know, if the train leaves the station at this time, not that. What does that have to do with football? We're not testing knowledge. We're testing the ability to read something and adjust to it, because there are going to be things that are taught in football that some of these guys have never heard or seen before. So, yeah, they're more in tune with football. But again, all I want to know is, what's your ability to read, retain? If you read something and you misread it consistently and you get a bad score, well, then that could be a potential problem if reading the playbook and you're constantly misreading what your responsibilities are, what you're supposed to do in this coverage, what you're supposed to do in that protection. you know, if you've got a guy that's struggling to read, you need to know that. Not, oh, this guy is the best player in the draft, we're not going to take him because his Wonderlic scores are too low. No, it doesn't mean that. What it means is this guy may be, Mr. Position Coach, may be a guy that you've got to teach verbally, orally, and not rely on the playbook. I mean, you got to have the playbook, but you're going to have to get him help there, and you're going to have to read it to him, teach it to him. There are guys, I won't mention who their names, that got yellow jackets on that couldn't read a bedtime story to their children at night. They play, and you can play, but you've got to know how to teach them. It's really important. So I want to see that. I'd like to see a guy's mobility in at quarterback and the three cone and the shuttle, their ability to move and stay balanced. It's not about running, but it's about avoiding and keeping balance in the pocket and squaring up to throw. That's what I'm looking for. Running back, I want to see burst. I want to see the 10-yard time. 40 is good, but overrated. I want to see the three-cone drill and the short shuttle. Really big for me. And I want to see their strength. Their lower body strength is important in that position. Receivers, speed's really important. 40 speed's important. 10, 20 is important. Change of direction is important. A lot of things are important there in terms of numbers. Size is important. I'm not concerned about, here's the thing about bench press. It'll directly correlate it to how much time a guy spends in the weight room and how much he spends benching. He may spend more time doing agilities. Well, it's a receiver. I want him doing that. But if he likes the weight room and he's shown an ability and a propensity to work in the weight room, then you can get him to do different things and build his body a little differently. He just not have been asked to do that in college. If he doesn't like the weight room, that's a red flag. That's a guy that's a little lazy. He'd rather do something else. Okay? You better work hard. It correlates. You better be able to work hard. It's a game about building your body and your skill sets and your athletic qualities as much as you can. So that's important. Tight ends, speed, quickness are important. Strength is a little bit more important. Tackles, guards, centers, I want to see really good quickness. I like to see the short shuttles. I like to see the 10-yard times are important, more for the guards and the tackles, but for both. I want to see strength. Don't look at strictly the bench press number. Look at the arm length in relation to the bench press number. We try to put a formula up there for you so you understand that it is important to understand that the further you take the bar down, the harder it is, the longer it is. So you're moving it a further distance. Common sense. You know, you're going to move your refrigerator just 1 foot or you're going to move it several feet. It's a difference in what you're trying to accomplish. So you must understand. Defensive linemen really want to see hand strength, or really want to see quickness, speed. Is important. Agilities are important. You've heard me mention. Subtract 0.05 from the 40-yard time. That should be your short shuttle time. That will tell you when their athleticism, their quickness matches up, their speed element. Linebackers want to see a lot of speed there. I want to see a lot of range. I want to see the change of direction on the three cone and the short shuttle. And I want to see that relative to size. I want to see how well they bend. Watch them in the drills. How stiff are they in the hips? How fluid are they in the hips? Really important. Cornerbacks, safeties, speed like receivers are important. Got to have that. Got to be able to turn and run. But you also got to be able to have the ability to flip your hips, smoothness of hips, quickness, foot quickness, really important to bend, to be able to redirect. Those things are extremely important as it relates to playing that position. Guy, I'm very curious to watch is a kid out of Boise State, a linebacker, Leighton Vander Esch, who I've watched a couple of days on film. I've seen him during the season, but did the breakdown with him and on him. And he is a really active guy. And I think he's a big-time football player. Now, what I need to see is I need to see those numbers kind of match up, because that's part of the how he's going to project to the next level. So it's important to understand the context. Not going to make or break the player, but it kind of confirms what you see, or maybe causes a little more doubt that you got to do more work. Players that are not working out. Well, it's become something that has been a big part of the process with agents getting involved. We're not going to work out. We're going to have our own day. Okay. I mean, it's understandable and it's fine. I always like guys to show up to compete. I always used to say, look, if you're not ready, then you got to get ready. I mean, you got to get ready for every practice, for every game. So you can't pick and choose when you're going to be ready. Unless you're coming off of an injury, of course, that's different. But you've got to be prepared. So I think a lot of it is wanting to control things, control the environment. It used to be a bigger negative for me. Now it can't be used as much as a negative today because it happens so frequently. And here's my point. People say, is it going to hurt a player? Look, if a player is a top player in the draft and he doesn't work out, it's not going to affect his draft stock if he doesn't have any problems. If you do work out, you'll get credit for it. But if you're not as good a player, you're not going to get bumped because they like the fact you worked out. What I look at it is an opportunity to show what you can do, what you're being asked to do. And if you miss that opportunity, you're not going to get it to the same degree of exposure at your pro day. So I think the thing to keep in mind is it's just a missed opportunity. If you don't work out, it may not hurt you. But if somebody else has an opportunity to shine, they may help themselves. And you're not going to help yourself by not working out. There's no way you can help yourself by not working out, but you can't really hurt yourself either by not working out, unless just somebody feels you got something to hide. So if I get a guy that is a high pick, I've got him graded that way, it's not going to affect me a great deal. But let me tell you what will affect me is a guy that's a later round pick that has no injury issues dealing with, but he's kind of thinks he's a lot better than he is. Well, look, the film is pretty average, dude. I'm not quite sure how good of an athlete you are. You got a chance to dispel that, or leave the doubt in our mind, and you leave it when you don't do it. And yeah, you might do it at your pro day. It's not the same as doing it at the combine. It means more. And I don't think the public understands that you have to convert all the workout, all the combine numbers from pro day. You've got to convert those numbers to what the combine surface. So again, it's not the same as doing it at the combine, and not everybody's seeing it and may be getting the word. So it's important to understand. A couple of other things here I want to get to outside of the combine. Jacksonville's new deal with Blake Bortles. What does it really mean? Why did they do it? Are they sold on him being great? No, this is a contract that says, look, the guy did a pretty good job. We've got a good team. We're because he's on the hook, they're on the hook for $19 million due to his injury. He's probably the best option for them. It really, being on the hook for that $19 million, cost them a real chance to go out and be competitive, maybe for another quarterback in the market. That's the first thing. The second thing is, in their eyes, is he these other quarterbacks on the market that much better, if at all? Well, the answer to that is, I don't know. In their eyes, probably not. So what does this contract mean? It's $26.5 million guaranteed. I know this sounds foolish and wasteful in a modern real world, but the reality of the quarterback world, if you don't have Blake Bortles, who else do you have? You don't have another option. And the goal in this league, you learn this in this league pretty quickly. The goal is you got to replace talent with talent. You better get better players than you have, but you better hold on to what you have until you can get better players, because there's going to be a gap You know, you got to take a step back to go forward. I get that. But you better make sure that you've got the guy to come in, because if you take too big of a gap too long, you're not going to be around. I don't know that I would sit there and applaud the deal for Blake Bortles. I think keeping him is something that it's a different story if he didn't have the injury part of this in the equation. I think that needs to get done is they've got to upgrade, maybe get a young guy. But this is their quarterback for now. They're going to go with him until otherwise noted, until there's a better option. They go forward with him. It's going to be an overreaction. Oh, I can't believe they paid this guy. What are they doing? Well, it just means their other options were going to be limited. Hold on to what you have. Probably not good enough to go to the Super Bowl with them. Made it to the AFC Championship. Doesn't guarantee you're going to get back. Doesn't guarantee anything. But it holds you where you are until you can get better. You're hearing in Minnesota news about the Vikings perhaps not interested in bringing Case Keenum back. Now, I don't think they were going to tag him at any point. People thought, well, they might tag him. I don't think they want to do that because, again, that signifies the number that the agent's going to want per year in a new contract. Well, they don't see Case Keenum that way. They're willing to let him walk. They'd like to keep Case Keenum, but they'd like to keep him at their number. And quite frankly, their number is only going to be there if the market dictates it. If another team is willing to inflate that number, boom, he's gone. I think there is definite interest in Kirk Cousins. Now, how much better do they have Kirk Cousins graded than Case Keenum? How much better, you know, because we can talk about the player, but when you're talking about pro players, it's different than talking about college players. You're talking about college players, you're picking 10th. Who's the best player on the board? Who's the best, you know, in the same grade plateaus? You've heard me talk about that. Who's the best fit for your team? Who's the biggest spot of need? All those things are relevant. But in NFL parlance, it's about how good are they relative to what they make. So what does it really mean? Does it mean that Kirk Cousins is twice as good, three times as good? A tenth as good? I mean, how much better is he than Case Keenum in the Vikings' eyes? How much more are they willing to spend on him? All things that these decisions at the start of the league year are going to really determine and help figure out where this would go. But it creates for some interesting dynamics, because if Kirk Cousins, who certainly the Jets and the Broncos, the Vikings certainly have the best team of the bunch, and we'll see how that might play out going forward. Obviously, we're going to be breaking down a lot of what we're going to try to do. And a little bit of note, what we're going to try to do a little bit on the website is getting some feedback, and we'd like your feedback. If you can send us a message at contact Chris of what more you'd like to see on the website. And we're going to try to focus a little bit more on the breakdowns of decisions and not just notifying you of decisions, because I think you're getting a feel out there of what's going on and what's happening, and you get the word. Once it's done, that's one thing. But somebody that can react to what does it really mean? What was their thought process, right or wrong? You can determine that, but explain a little bit how it fits, how it doesn't fit, so on and so forth. So we'll react to that, all these moves as they come up in free agency. A quick note before we head out of here. Nick Saban has, we mentioned last week, hired Craig Kulikowski, one of the best defensive line coaches. This makes some news. He contacted Butch Jones, former Tennessee coach, to talk to him about an offensive analyst position. I don't know where it's going to go, where it's at. But it is newsworthy, of course, and it is to the degree of what they're able to do at the big-time programs and recruiting some of these coaches that are out of work, paying them money, particularly when they're getting paid some money at other places. You can get them to come there, be involved, work, help improve their stock. And, you know, Butch Jones has taken a lot of negative hits about how bad he did with this and that. It's a way to kind of know, the Alabama, Nick Saban road is kind of a way you go to polish off your image, your resume. And Butch hasn't done anything bad. He just certainly did not have the type of success. But interesting to see. We'll keep you up to date on what is going with that going forward. Okay, folks, we appreciate it. Remember, we'll be bringing you a little bit more combine information and all the latest Thursday. We'll get into more details of maybe some of the players. We're going to talk a little bit about what type of questions we need to ask certain prospects. We'll do that more on the Landry Football Podcast this Thursday. Remember, if you haven't checked out LandryFootball.com, please do so. A lot of great information. Again, feedback always welcome. Let us know something you want me to address here, something to analyze with what we're doing around the website and how we're doing it, maybe a little bit more in depth and not as many volume of posts. But we're looking at a lot of different things to improve LandryFootball.com for you, the listener and the reader. So appreciate you joining us today. We'll talk to you again Thursday on another edition of LandryFootball.com.
To get more of Chris's knowledge, visit and subscribe to LandryFootball.com. You can also find him on Twitter at LandryFootball. This has been Landry Football on Radio Influence.
This is a Jim Fannin Show quick fix on Radio Influence.
Stress. I mean, it's as contagious as the Ebola virus, Seth, and I think it's rampant. The news media blasts packets of stress into our living room, and then the media throws us a bone with one happy story. I'm like, what's up with that? On this show, we're going to lead with those stories. Are you kidding me? There's no negativity here. Bad news travels fast. Bad news travels 22, according to research, faster than good news. That's amazing. It actually travels faster with gossip and rumor. You got to beware of those stress. Some people carry stress. They don't even know it. They don't have a clue. I believe they could even pass a lie detector test. I'm not stressed, as their voice goes up two octaves, and you can definitely hear it in their voice. You can see it in their face, and they're not aware that stress has actually changed their mood, impregnated their body. Just make sure it's not you.
The Jim Fannin Show can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.